Good early morning, church. So we continue our study through the book of Matthew. We're in chapter 3, verses 13 through verse 17. And it's real interesting. We have a question today that we will answer about Jesus' baptism. And that's where we're at. Remember now, Matthew's whole point in writing the gospel, he's speaking to Jews that he's very familiar with, proving the royalty and the right of Jesus to be king. He's proving Jesus' kingship. If you think about it, over in chapter 1, he gave his ancestry. Chapter 2, he gave where the Magi came and just paid honor and homage to Jesus Christ. And then now in chapter 3, last week, we saw where John the Baptist was the herald of Jesus coming, proclaiming that he's coming and preparing the way. And the way that he was preparing it was telling the Jews about their sin. He's revealing their sin to them. And how did he require them to repent? By baptism, the baptism of repentance. Now we begin to see for the first time Jesus is on the scene. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. Matthew 3, verses 17 through 13 through 17. So this morning, this is the first time Jesus makes his public appearance to fulfill the mission that God the Father has given to him. And we're reading about the commissioning of Jesus into ministry, the commissioning of Jesus as Messiah King. So Jesus' first act of ministry now is to put himself in identity with sinners. Pretty unique. Jesus willfully submitted to John's baptism of repentance, even though he was sinless, and he didn't need it. He was sinless and holy. So Jesus comes onto the scene to be commissioned as king, yet the way that he chooses to do that is quite revealing of his purpose as Savior. So Jesus, who's utterly righteous, chooses as his first act as king to take the place, to put himself in the place of sinners, those who have no righteousness at all. So last week we ended our message with a challenge to see our sin, to see our failures and shortcomings, and then repent, so that we as believers can have more peace and more power, more strength, more joy, this greater sense of purpose of God placing us in this life. When we see our sin, it's easier to submit it over to God. But when we turn a blind eye to our own sin, no wonder we live a mediocre Christian life. You see, John's purpose was pointing out the sins of these Jews, preparing the way for Jesus. Because you can't surrender, you can't repent, you can't fight against the sin that you cannot see. So John the Baptist came onto the scene to help the Jews see their sin. That way they would all be ready and able to respond to the Messiah when he showed up onto the scene. When Jesus' ministry began as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Jews would be prepared because now they understood their sin and they could recognize Christ as Savior. So if we want to leave a mediocre Christian life, we have to recognize our sin. John 15, verse 11 says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." So as we walk through this message this morning, we have to keep in mind that God wants our joy to be full. And the way that our joy is to be full is that we recognize our sin and repent of it so we can walk with Christ. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answering said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let's pray together. Father God, take your word. God, just begin to pull back layers in our own life that we have built up. God, those pet sins, those things that may only seem to be little small dust particles in our life, God, clean them up. Sweep them out today, God, because we want to know the fullness of joy of our salvation in Jesus. God, break your word down for us. Help us to understand the truth of Jesus as King and Messiah, and the great extent that your love brought him to do in our behalf. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning, verse 13, it says, then Jesus arrived from Galilee. That word arrived in the Greek means to make one's public appearance or to come forth publicly. So Jesus had finally arrived on the scene. And now we begin to see what begins to take place. Listen, this in the Greek, this is not just a happen to show up. This is an intentional coming out. Jesus intentionally went out to meet John the Baptist. So this was an intentional move of Christ to make his visit to John and his anointing into the ministry as Messiah King. The Greek word arrived there that Matthew used here is when a person of significance would be seeking a position of significance in the public. So Jesus arrived. Significant person, significant place in the public eye. So Matthew is no doubt using this word to indicate that Jesus is deliberately, he's going there to be inaugurated into his public ministry. So let's begin the picture of what's going on, the scene that's being played out. So, James, we got a picture of John the Baptist. Remember this guy from last week? Yeah, he didn't go anywhere yet. Verse 13 says, then Jesus arrived. Well, what is the then in this passage of Scripture? It's the when and the where. When it says then, it's talking about the when and the where that Jesus came out to be baptized. So when was Jesus' baptism? Well, we need to go to the book of Luke, chapter 3, verse 21, to find out a little more detail about this. So we're putting all the puzzle pieces together this morning, drawing this picture, get a fuller understanding of what's taking place in this scene of Jesus' baptism. Luke, chapter 3, verse 21, says, now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized, and while he was praying, heaven opened. So Jesus was baptized at the same time the other people were baptized. He was baptized publicly and with others as witnesses. Just a side note, that's why we do not do private baptisms. Because Jesus was baptized publicly. He hung on the cross for your sins and my sins publicly. The least we can do is go through the waters of baptism publicly to profess our faith in Christ as a sign of what we hold on the inside of our soul, the salvation that God brought through Jesus Christ to us, our regenerated, made alive souls. The least we can do is be baptized as Jesus commanded in public. So Jesus was baptized publicly, and he died on the cross publicly. So the least we can do is that, baptism. So how old was Jesus when he was baptized? Well, if we read in Luke chapter 3, a couple of verses down, verse 23, the first part of it says, "And when he began his public ministry, Jesus himself was 30 years old." So we're getting the understanding that when Jesus went to meet John, he was 30 years old, and he was baptized along with a lot of other people publicly. And we also know that John was 6 months older than Jesus. Remember, they're cousins. When Mary was found with child to be pregnant with Jesus, she goes to see her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John. So just a side note in this, 30 years of age was the minimum age for a priest to enter the ministry in the Old Testament. And it seems like Jesus and John were little Old Testament guys, if you saw that picture of John. So in Numbers chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "From 30 years and upward, even to 50 years old, all who entered the service to do the work in the tent of meeting." So it seems for us to understand that Jesus goes out at 30 years old to begin his ministry. John went out 6 months before him at 30 years old to begin his ministry. So the then Jesus arrived would be about 6 months after John had began his ministry, because of the 6 months age difference between them. So, Brother Kevin, we just read 30 years old because we're drawing a picture here. We're helping us understand. We're growing in the Word. So where was Jesus baptized? If we have the map, James, from Nazareth down to Bethany. If you see up at the very top, where Galilee, Nazareth is in Galilee, and he made his way down to the city of Bethany, and that's where John, Bethany is about 6 miles north of the Dead Sea, toward the middle of the picture, and that is where John was baptizing. So Jesus made his way from Nazareth all the way down to Bethany. So Mark chapter 3 says that not only was he from Galilee, but more specifically, he was from Nazareth. So where was Jesus going to meet John? The gospel tells us about Jesus being baptized in the Jordan. John chapter 1, verse 28. These things took place in Bethany, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Okay? In this location, Jesus would have walked 70 miles from Nazareth, his home, down to Bethany to be baptized. 70 miles he walked intentionally to go meet his cousin, John the Baptist, to be commissioned, to be coronated as king, to be anointed into his ministry. Here's the beautiful thing. The name Bethany means house of answers. And here Jesus is being the answer to our sin problem. He's the final answer. So all of these Jews, thousands of them, were undergoing this Gentile in full immersion baptism of repentance for their sin in the Jordan River at Bethany. And the name of that town is House of Answers. And here, Jesus now shows up on the scene making his first public appearance at the baptism to be the answer for the sins of the Jews and for all people around the world. Man, Jesus is our answer for our sins today. He's 30 years old. Scripture helps us to see that. But Scripture was silent all through Jesus' teenage years. Now listen, there are some Gnostic gospels out there that are not true scripture that try to tell a story of Jesus as a child and Jesus as a teenager and doing all these miracles and stuff. Listen, that's not biblical. Don't believe any of that. Jesus was a normal kid. very intelligent, but normal kid. Because we see from Luke 2, the last recorded thing we have about Jesus is when he's 12 years old. He's out in the temple. You remember his parents took him to the temple? And they left, and they were a couple of days' journey down the road, and then they realized Jesus wasn't there. They go back to him. They find him sitting in the temple, and he's listening to what is being taught, and he's asking questions. And the scripture says that they were all amazed at what Jesus understood at 12 years old. Scripturally, that's the last time we hear of Jesus until these 18 years later when Jesus shows up on the scene to be baptized by John. What did he do? He worked in the carpenter shop with his legal father, Joseph. But it's believed that not long after this visit to the temple, not too many years later, Joseph died. We have the picture of the carpenter shop. Not quite like carpenter shops that we would have today, but this would be a picture of someone that's portraying Jesus working in an ancient carpenter shop of this nature. So for some 18 years, Jesus worked in his father's carpenter shop. And all the while, listen, he noticed there were people around him hurting. There were people who were broken all around him. There were people who were desperate for a Savior, for the Messiah to be there. And Jesus was at peace with it the whole time, knowing that it was a perfect timing of his sovereign Father to bring him to his kingship. Jesus just went about making a living for his family because he was the eldest son. So Jesus, all this time, making a living in the carpenter shop, providing for his mother and his sibling, younger siblings, half-siblings, he was not rattled by the things going on in the world. He knew God was in control. His Father was in control of it all. And you know what? Why can't we learn from Jesus that there are things in this life that are rattled? Listen, they'll shake us up. They'll try to break us. They'll try to throw us against the wall and shatter us to pieces. That's what Satan wants to do through situations in our life. But praise God, we have a sovereign Lord who's over all of our lives, who works in those situations, and he can bring us peace as we journey through them. I didn't say happiness, I said peace. So let's put it all together. A picture of the Jordan River. So Jesus comes onto the scene at the Jordan at the height of John's ministry, just as the Jews are being baptized for repentance of their sins. And onto the scene comes Jesus, who is the one to redeem them from the penalty of all their sin. So Jesus is the answer, making his first public appearance at the House of Answers, Bethany. So Jesus arrives and makes his way straight to John. Now, he didn't go to John to keep preaching along with John. He didn't go there proclaiming the righteousness of God to them. Nope. He went there to be baptized like the rest of the sinners. So we have this glaring question that's in front of us, and we're going to work through this a little bit. So John is preaching about sin and the baptism of repentance for that sin. Why would Jesus need to be baptized? Why did Jesus walk 70 miles from Nazareth all the way down to Bethany to meet John to be baptized in the Jordan River by John? It's a question we need to work through. Jesus was perfect. He had no reason to be baptized because of sin. But John's baptism was of repentance. Listen, had a different meaning than believer's baptism that we enjoy today. So it's Jesus' baptism that really is like the hinge that swings John's baptism into Christian baptism. So Jesus' baptism transforms John's baptism into our cherished Christian baptism or believer's baptism that we enjoy today. That's why we're always baptized after we profess our faith in Christ, not before. It's believer's baptism. Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into his death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So why is Jesus, who is sin-free, going through a baptism of repentance? Well, Jesus said it, to fulfill all righteousness. We need to understand what he means there. What does he mean to fulfill all righteousness? So we know that John's baptism is one of repentance. And we also know that John is the herald of Jesus, who is there to prepare the way for Christ by pointing out the people's sin and telling them what to do about it. We understand what John's purpose is there for, but what's Jesus' purpose there to be baptized? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So if Jesus had no sin, why did he have to go through the sinner's baptism? Let's kind of work through this question. Verse 14. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you. Could you imagine John? He sees Jesus coming. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Jesus walks right up to him. Baptize me, John. Do you imagine John? What? I need to be baptized from you. And you come to me? Man, I'm a filthy sinner. I'm not even worthy to unlace your shoes. Verse 15, but Jesus answering him said, permit it at this time, for this is the way it is fitting for us. So John, you're in this with me. It is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And when he told John that, he permitted him to be baptized. In other words, John baptized him. But notice the pattern. Verse 13, 14, and 15. It starts out, says, then Jesus, showing up on the scene, but John, but Jesus. There's this clash here that Jesus is showing up on the scene to be baptized, and John just didn't understand. I'm here preparing the way for you, Jesus, to make your appearance. I'm anointing you into ministry. Why do I need to baptize you? You need to baptize me. John just said, I don't get it, Jesus. Can you imagine if the one preparing the way who recognized Jesus coming as the Lamb of God is just didn't get what Jesus is even there for? He could have began his ministry up in Nazareth and just took off. John just didn't get it. He didn't understand it. You know something, God often works even in our lives like that. We don't understand why God is doing something or allowing things to take place. We don't understand what's going on. We don't understand what he's doing. We just don't get it. We can identify with John here, just kind of being like, God, what's happening here? God, why is my life going? Why am I going through this? What is this taking place for me? I don't understand it. In verse 14 says, John tried to prevent him. The word to prevent in the Greek means to utterly prohibit, forbid, to hinder altogether. John is emphatically telling Jesus, no, I'm not going to baptize you. No, Lord. No. Do you imagine Jesus and John getting in this up close, you know, disagreement, this up close confrontation like this in front of hundreds of people? And Jesus and John baptized me. John said, I ain't going to do it. I need you to baptize me. John said, no, you need to baptize me. Could you imagine them standing in the water and this conversation going on? And Jesus says, listen, we're here. We have to fulfill all righteousness. And it seemed like a light bulb went off in John's head. And he baptized Jesus. See, John knows Jesus is the Messiah. They're cousins. John's a little older, and you know his mother told him about Jesus. Maybe they even played together growing up a little bit. John knew who he was, and John knew that he was the Messiah. John knew what he was here for. He knew what Jesus was here for. And he knew Jesus was sinless. And he doesn't want the baptism to occur because it's a baptism of repentance. Listen to John the Baptist's words. This is John the Baptist speaking in the Gospel of John. The disciple John wrote this. John chapter 1, verse 29 through 34. Interesting. So the next day, John's out baptizing. So the next day, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. I did not recognize him. John said, I didn't fully understand who he was. But so that he might be manifest to Israel, I came baptizing in water. Verse 32, John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. I didn't recognize him. But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. John has testified. John's telling his story a little bit later. It's like, I said, behold, the Lamb of God. But he came to be baptized. I just didn't understand. I didn't recognize him. I didn't know fully who he was. Man, John knows Jesus was the Messiah, but he didn't fully know him. Yet in the next verses we read where the heavens opened up and the Spirit of God descends upon Jesus and he stays there. Listen, this is further confirmation to John and all those around that Jesus is the Son of God. He is Messiah King. And that day, John says, I didn't fully understand him, but I understand a whole lot more now. Some blinders fell off of John. It's like, oh, I get it. A little bit better. John didn't still fully, he was still a sinful man, so he couldn't see everything of God, but he understood a little bit better. And listen, that's the way it is for us. The more God reveals to us, the closer we get to him, the more he reveals to us, and we understand a little bit better. Oh, it's beautiful. You see, not only did John see all of that, but the people all around saw it. See, no one, including John, understood why Jesus needed to be baptized. Verse 15 says, Jesus is permitted at this time. It's time for us to fulfill all righteousness. So what Jesus was doing here in his first act, he's foreshadowing what he would do in his last act as king. So he's going to submit himself here to this baptism of repentance because he's identifying with believers. And you see, he's setting the tone. He's setting the foundation right now in that baptism for what he would do at the cross and the resurrection, where we get our meaning for Christian baptism. It's amazing what Jesus was doing before he even got to the cross to set the tone for it. You see, John was right. Jesus didn't need to be baptized. But John missed something here. Jesus came to earth to identify with sinners like us and to totally fulfill all the things that God has laid out for sinners to have full obedience. So if God sent John to baptize for repentance, Jesus came from leaving glory down to this earth to fulfill everything a sinner had to go through for full obedience to God. And one of it was baptism. Even though he didn't need it, he's identifying with sinners. He's putting himself in the place of a sinner. John Calvin said it this way. He says, the general reason why Christ received baptism was that he might render full obedience to the Father. R.C. Sproul put it this way. He says, he often said that in keeping every stipulation, the Lord has given his people in order to secure a perfect righteousness for us before God. The Lord did everything that was required of us. Everything to fulfill the righteousness, full righteousness. So here at the Jordan River, Jesus came out of obscurity into the public light to declare the very reason that he came. He linked himself to sinners. So not only was Jesus there putting his stamp of approval on what John was doing, and that's what I've heard most pastors say. Well, Jesus went there just to put his thumbs up or stamp of approval on John's ministry. Yeah, he was doing that, but it was so much more. It was so much more. So that's the very reason that Jesus left his throne in glory, became human to identify with us in order to save us. So Jesus had to become one of us. He had to become one of us fully so that he could die on the cross, taking our sins on him. He could pay for those sins and then resurrect from the dead. And we as believers will resurrect also. Jesus fulfilling every detail set out before him by the Father to be in perfect obedience. This is what it means when Jesus says to fulfill all righteousness. See, an Old Testament prophecy helps us understand. You know, Matthew's good about going back to the Old Testament. Isaiah 53, verses 11 and 12 from the English Standard Version says, out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Man, the fulfillment of this prophecy, we can see that on the cross. Yet we can also see it at Jesus' baptism. Because, man, he walked 70 miles. He got up into the crowd of people, a bunch of sinners, hearing John preach, and he walked straight down to John with all the other sinners there being baptized. He says, I need to be baptized too. Why? To fulfill all righteousness. I need to identify with them. God sent me here for this purpose, for this reason. All righteousness to be fulfilled. Verse 16 says this. After being baptized, now that word baptized means baptizo, meaning immerse, means to get fully wet. Listen, that's why we baptize with full immersion. We don't sprinkle. We don't slosh. We don't pour. We go scripture. Jesus walked down into the river and was baptized. Full immersion. Gentile-like baptism. That's what John was doing. That's what Jesus went through. That's what we go through. And full immersion baptism, if you think about it and you go underwater, you're dying to your old self. You're resurrecting to a new life in Christ. But you're claiming what Jesus has done on the cross and his resurrection as your own. That Jesus died for my sin and he resurrected from the dead. That's why. So rich in meaning for us. After being baptized, verse 16 says, Jesus came up immediately out from the water, and behold, the heavens opened up, and he saw the Spirit descending as a dove and lighting on him. Verse 17, and behold, a voice out of heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Man, can you imagine this supernatural event? Jesus going down there and this confrontation going back and forth between Jesus and John, saying, listen, baptize me, Jesus, I ain't going to do it. John says, no, Jesus, I'm not going to do it. And he says, yeah, do it for all righteousness. He baptizes him, and immediately when Jesus comes up out of the water, this. The Bible says the heavens opened up, and the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Now, we don't know if this was a physical dove or just gave an image of a dove. And it lit upon Jesus where all could see. A few unique things about this. All three persons of the Trinity were represented here. Jesus was there, the Son, coming up immediately out of the water, the Spirit of God descending on him, and the Father, a voice from heaven saying, this is my Son, beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What Jesus is doing here is foreshadowing the cross, and he's foreshadowing the resurrection and the sin that will be placed on him and resurrecting on the third day. All three persons of the Trinity are present. Not only at Jesus' baptism, but our salvation also. All three. They truly are one. So what is this phrase, the heavens opened up? It means what it says. Not just that the clouds parted, but there was a sense that the spiritual realm and the physical realm got very thin, and you could see the heavens open. Oh, Brother Kevin, that's hard to believe. Well, Scripture records it a few more times. It happened to Stephen as he was being stoned. Remember, he looked up and he saw the Father, saw Jesus standing there. Happened to Paul? What about John as he wrote Revelation and recorded all the things that he saw? You see, it's not rare. Why were these people who were at the Jordan River that day, why was John privileged to see the heavens opened up? It's because they were there. They had faith and they were obedient. Listen, when we walk in obedience as a Christian, we obey God's word, God begins to reveal more and more to us. When we say, you know what? I don't need to bring my Bible to church because they're going to have it on the screen. Or if we leave our Bible in the car all week, or if we just put it down on the cabinet or on the table or on the mantle or right next to the bed, but we never pick it up all week, we're doing ourselves an injustice. Because the more we know and apply God's word and obey God's word, the more God reveals of himself to us. Isn't that special? Isn't that amazing? I want to see more of God in my life. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. He also throws this in, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He's saying, draw near to God, but get rid of the yucky stuff. So as believers, we do not obey and are saved. We're saved and we obey. Verse 17 says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Let's catch this final picture and we're closing. So Jesus is coronated into the ministry and God says, this is my Son and beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus hadn't done anything in ministry yet. He was just baptized. For 18 years, he's worked in his stepdad or his earthly dad, his legal dad's carpenter shop. No miracles, no great teachings, no healings, no feeding the 5,000, none of that had taken place. It was just Jesus making a living for his mother and his siblings, doing what the eldest son needed to do when the father was no longer in the picture. But yet God says, in him I am well pleased. You know what that tells me? Is that wherever God has planted you, born again believer, you, Christian, it may be in an oil rig, it may be on a platform, it may be in the hospital, it may be in a classroom. Listen, it may be in an office somewhere, it may be in a refinery, it may be in an industrial, it may be in your own business. Wherever, you may be on a high line somewhere. Wherever God has planted you, you're making a living for your family. That's spiritual work. And you're on the mission field. What? Everybody thinks you have to go somewhere else to be on the mission field. Don't you think God's going to send some lost people your way? Believe me, I've worked offshore. There's some lost people out there. I've been in a classroom. There's some lost people out there. I've been on a college campus. There's some lost people there. God has planted you there for you to grow and to be an example and to be an outflow of his grace, his mercy, and his love to those around you. Don't keep your mouth closed about Jesus. What's the worst thing somebody can do to you? Write you up? No, but those people need to know Jesus. Jesus worked in his dad's carpenter shop. And he comes for baptism. God opened the heavens and says, whom I am well pleased. Don't you think as you live your life for Christ, wherever he has planted you, that Jesus would say, this is my son, this is my daughter, in whom I am well pleased. That's powerful. And all you were doing was going to work, loving Jesus, being obedient to him, making a paycheck for your family. To pay the bills, maybe plan a little vacation. You didn't even think anything of
what God has you there for. But He has you there for a purpose and a reason. And He has you there for a season of life. You may not be there for till the day you die. Some of y'all saying, please not. But you're there for a season. Give glory to God. And He looks at you and says, oh, my daughter. Oh, my son. In you I'm well pleased. Let's pray together. Father God, today, thank you for Jesus coming to fulfill all righteousness, even submitting to identify with us as a sinner, to fulfill everything you laid before him. Oh God, today may we be obedient to fulfill the things that you lay before us. Help us to grow as your people. God, maybe there's someone here who doesn't know you as Savior. God, maybe there's someone here who loves you and trusts you and loves you, but God, they've never followed through with full immersion baptism. God, and you're calling them because we want to do it the biblical way. What Jesus experienced, we want to experience. So much depth and richness for us. Lead us to what you want us to do in Jesus' name. Amen.